Tomorrow, October 1st, marks the first anniversary of the mass shooting at Umpqua Community College in Roseburg. One man killed a teacher, eight students, and himself before the shooting stopped. It shocked the world, and you can imagine what it did to Roseburg and its people. So many people have so many stories to tell and so much healing still to do. That is the function of the Umpqua Story Project, collecting the stories of many people from the day of the shooting to this day. Mark Iaconelli is the Story Project director. He's been active for years in the Ashland area with The Hearth, a storytelling project, and he's my guest in the studio. Mark, good to see you again.
Good to be here.
And on the phone with us from Roseburg is Susan Rochester, who's a professor of fine arts at Umpqua Community College. Susan, thank you for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
So, Mark, tell us a bit about how the Umpqua Story Project got going. It sounds like this was a real boost from the community that got going fast.
Well, the Ford Family Foundation is based in Roseburg, and so this event was personal. It was personal to everybody in that region, but they lived there. They went through a lot of the pain and trauma that the rest of the community did. And then they recognized that in the wake of this tragedy, there was this sort of uprising of kindness, compassion, people coming together to help their neighbors. And they were moved by what was going on in the area, and they thought someone needs to tell this story. Someone needs to collect what's happening among the people of Douglas County in the aftermath. And so I had done other storytelling projects with them, and they asked me to, you know, do you have a way that you might be able to collect these stories? And so we came up with a bunch of ways. We thought, well, what if we trained volunteers in compassionate listening and put them in cafes and pubs and had them with paper and people could write out their stories? What if we trained people with recording equipment, sent them out to interview their neighbors? What if we had schools ask people to write down their stories? So we tried a lot of different methods to try to capture what was happening there.
Susan Rochester, let's learn more about you. You've been at UCC for more than a dozen years now. Is that right?
I'm in my 15th, yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the general mood, and more appropriately, I guess, from your perspective. I mean, do you arrive on campus now a year later and not think about that day?
No, honestly, no. You know, there's, you know, so hundreds of us here, and so all of our experiences are very different. But periodically, I'll realize I've gotten through part of a day and not thought about it. Especially days like today where it's very much like that day was, you know, that brilliant October sky and the leaves starting to turn. And, yeah, there are reminders.
As I listen to some of the stories that are placed on the website, some of which will play in just a few moments here, I'm struck by the sense of, okay, this was bad, but let's make this a good community still. And it seems to be something that really is pervasive.
Absolutely. It's so amazing. You know, people here are very, you know, independent and self-reliant. You know, that's our timber and agricultural background. But, boy, you help your neighbor. And I'm most struck by the humbleness of everyone who stepped forward saying, I can only do this one thing. But, oh, my word, they have no idea what an impact it makes on, you know, it just ripples outward through so many lives.
Let's hear some of the comments that people have made, and these are all available through the Umpqua Story Project website, so we're grabbing just little parts of some of these. The first you'll hear is from Dr. Christine Seals, a family physician in Roseburg affiliated with Mercy Medical Center.
Within minutes, I actually got a text, and the text was from my daughter. My daughter was in the room, and while there was a shooting, she texted first that she was okay, but that there was a shooting. And I think at that moment is the first moment my heart stopped. Turns out that while we were sitting there, the shooting was still happening.
Mm. You had heard from your daughter while she was in the classroom at UCC?
She was in lockdown. So I feel very fortunate in that I heard about the shooting first from my child telling me that she was okay. Many of my colleagues, including the woman I was sitting next to, didn't know her child was okay for at least 15 or 20 minutes, and many others hours, and many weren't.
Dr. Christine Seals talking about waiting to find out news about her daughter. Didn't have to wait long. From the other perspective, there's a young woman, Brittany Robbins, 14 years old at Roseburg High School. Her mother, a student at Umpqua Community College last October 1st, and she heard a PA announcement at school.
It was our principal, and she sounded like she was scared, and she told the teacher they needed to check a very important email. And, like, I kind of heard around the school that there was a shooting somewhere, but I didn't know. And then my teacher started crying, and she wouldn't tell us anything. And then everyone got out their phones and was looking it up. And then she told me, and I started crying and freaking out, and I tried calling my mom, and my mom didn't answer, so I freaked out, and I was crying and scared and didn't know what to do, because I didn't know what happened exactly. I didn't know where the shooting was or what building, and I didn't know if she was alive.
And ultimately she was. Her mom was okay, too. That, again, Brittany Robbins, Christine Seals, you heard before that. Lots of voices coming in through the Umpqua Story Project. Mark, you've put some on the website. There'll be some live deliveries of these as well in the coming days and weeks, I understand.
That's right. We have six local community members who are going to tell a true story of their experience, really focusing on moments of kindness and generosity that happened and what the roots of those are. That's going to happen on October 8th. On Saturday from 7 to 9 p.m. On the Umpqua Community College campus in the Whipple building on Center Stage.
And there's an exhibit as well that is ongoing, is that right?
Yes. Susan Rochester has put this together, taking the materials that we collected. So there's photographs. You're able to listen to all the recordings of the stories we collected. You can see the written stories that people did and read them in folders and things, and she's put that together in the gallery, also in the Whipple building at Umpqua Community College.
So Susan Rochester, I understand one of your responses was to grab as many art supplies as you could get your hands on in a hurry on that day.
It was actually a couple of days
okay.
later. It was the first Monday that campus was open, and I knew I had to get back onto campus immediately. I knew if I waited, it would just take longer and be harder. And I thought other people might be feeling the same. And our building's on the edge of campus and a ways away from where the events took place. So I thought, well, I'll open up the studio space and invite people in and help them make art and try to find some kind of a safe, intuitive space that they could be in, calm their breathing and their heart rates, and then maybe they could step further into campus.
Did a lot of non-art students show up to use that
Actually,
catharsis?
Actually, it was mostly non-art.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I want to hear more about this. We're going to talk more with Susan Rochester, professor of fine arts at UCC, Mark Iaconelli, who leads the Umpqua Story Project, which is pulling together many stories in the wake of the UCC shooting 1 year ago tomorrow. We'll come back to the Jefferson Exchange and talk more with the Umpqua Story Project and take calls and emails from you if you'd like to join us when we return in a minute five. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Tomorrow, October 1st, the one-year anniversary of the shooting that saw nine people and the shooter dead at Umpqua Community College in Roseburg, being remembered through the Umpqua Story Project, which begins at the shooting but moves forward into all the many things that people in the community have done for themselves and for each other. Over the months since the shooting, you can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk to Mark Iaconelli from the Story Project and Susan Rochester, one of the storytellers, a fine arts professor at UCC. Your comments welcome at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So, Susan, you were saying you just gave people a chance to express themselves through art, and it was mostly non-artists who showed up at your studio.
There were a lot. There were several dozen who showed up over the next couple of days, and I just showed them some simple things they could do. We just used really bad paint and gift cards and showed them how they could just scrape paint onto paper and create these beautiful patterns. And then I showed them how to bind them into a journal so that they could have a place that maybe they could start to process everything they were going through.
Did some really amazing work come out of that? I mean, just on an artistic level, I guess, is what I'm looking for.
I think it was...
Or is it more about the catharsis?
I think it was more about the catharsis, but I do think there was, you know, there were people who've mentioned, in fact, over in service, a couple of people said, you know, that really I'm still working on this, and that's become a safe place for me to return to and to process things, and it helps give me strength, which is something any artist understands, but helping non-artists understand that and tap into it is pretty special.
Mark Iaconelli, ultimately, how many people did you bring in through the Umpqua Story Project, and what kinds of directions, if any, were given to what kinds of stories to collect?
Well, one of our first principles was that every interaction, when we were collecting stories, that this would be a compassionate interaction between community members. So even if they forgot to push record on the button, mm-hmm. The idea was you got two people from the same area talking about what happened, trying to process their experience, and that would be a good and a positive in and of itself, whether we captured the story or not. And that did happen. We did sometimes, but they forgot to push record, or the person decided they didn't want to write it down, but they talked to their neighbor about what had happened. But we did collect about somewhere around 200 stories. Most of those are on the website. Some are not for a variety of reasons.
Okay. We're radiating out from campus now. So we heard from a woman who was concerned about a daughter on campus. We heard about a woman who was concerned about her mother being on campus. As we radiate outward, we hear from people who are not on campus specifically, but who are in the community and are heard. Isidra Castro and Chris Belleville are both tattoo artists.
When I found out, my heart totally hurt. I just couldn't believe it's such a peaceful, wonderful community that this would happen. All I knew was that somehow, some way, I wanted to do something. Because I just felt what a painful blow this was to Roseburg. You could feel it. It was definitely an energy thing, and you could feel it just radiate out like a pebble in a pond. It was really, really sad.
I was super scared. I don't know why, because it wasn't, you know, at my house or near my house, but you just get this feeling of fear for the people involved, and you can't comfort the hearts. You can't do anything but stand back and watch like a huge tragedy unfold. I've met some of the students, some of the teachers, and it just gives you goosebumps. You feel like you were, like we were all a part of that day. It wasn't just what was happening at the college. Like, it impacted every single person in Roseburg. Like, a nuclear bomb went off.
And you hear that a lot from people in Roseburg. I noticed that Misty Russell, for example, co-owns Bricks Grill in Roseburg with her husband, Mark, and talked about the difficulty of just trying to move from what had been a normal day mm-hmm. into what's a very abnormal day. So here's Misty Russell.
So it's a bustly morning. You're headed into getting some people onto breaks, and then you're starting to pick up for lunch, and it's typical. And all the noises are the same. Everything feels the same. And this gentleman that happened to be a paramedic got a call out. And all of a sudden, everything changed. He said out loud, "I gotta go, there's been a shooting." And it felt like, in that moment, everything cleared and was quiet. I mean, literally, just like that. Everything on the books canceled. Everything just went very quiet, and all the sounds were not the same as restaurant sounds anymore. There's no clinking, there's no laughter, there's no chatter, there's no background noise. All of a sudden, somewhere that's always got background has nothing. And that was pretty much through lunch. And people, if they did come in and it was slight, felt very zombied. It was difficult as servers to approach the people that did come in, because we typically would say, "Hi, you know, folks, how are you?" And nobody wanted to say those words. And it was really awkward to want to be doing food service. Just didn't feel like a real important thing to be doing. And by later afternoon, people were coming in, and they just, you know, people needed somewhere to be.
That's Misty Russell, who owns a restaurant in Roseburg, co-owns it with her husband Mark, the Bricks Grill, talking about just the ripple effect in the community felt as recounted through her storytelling in the Umpqua Story Project. Mark Iaconelli runs it. Susan Rochester from UCC's Fine Arts Department is on the phone with us as well. Mark, how soon after the events did you get starting to collect these stories?
Within 2 to 3 weeks, we were working with people and starting to come out to collect stories. And one little correction I need to make is, you know, we've been talking about Roseburg, but of course this was all Douglas County. Mm-hmm. I mean, Umpqua Community College serves that whole area. So people were affected from Oakland, Oregon, and Sutherland, and Myrtle Creek, and all up towards the coast, all that kind of. And we did try to collect stories in all those, areas.
Okay, so were people generally willing? Did you find a lot of reluctance? Some people just get out of my face with the microphone? I mean, I don't...
Well, you know, Susan mentioned the humility of this county, and that's true. And there were many people who would say, I want to tell my story because I want to talk to you, but I don't want to record it. Or, you know, what I did was so small, it's not really worth talking about. Or I remember a group of waitresses who had given up their wages and tips and just told the owner of the business who was doing a fundraiser, please give this to the families. Don't tell anyone. We don't want anybody to know about this. They didn't want their story collected. They didn't want their names collected. That was not an uncommon experience up there for people to feel that kind of humility in the face of this, the suffering they knew their neighbors were going through.
Susan, for yourself and all the people who've been on campus, you still work there at UCC. I mean, there are days when you want to talk about it and days when you really don't.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And you just, you don't know when it's going to, where it's going to come from or, you know, how it's going to hit. And you just kind of have to hang on for the ride. And it's interesting to notice, you know, through colleagues, because there's some who will leave the room, you know, the minute there's any mention. And then there are others who keep going back to it because they're still processing it, and processing it verbally is the way that they do it.
We're inviting you to join us on the Jefferson Exchange if you have some stories of your own you'd like to share as we talk about the Umpqua Story Project. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Some other people I'd like you to hear from as we go through the hour, and starting with Larry Safley, who's an artist in Roseburg. And he apparently helped design and distribute the IMUCC stickers. And he's one of many people who expressed a concern that, yes, this is a tragedy, but let's not make this the story that defines Roseburg.
The health of the community impacted how we reacted to what happened as well. There's some good energy happening around. Some of the economy's picking up a little bit. Things are getting a little more positive. And then, boom, this thing happens. And it was just a tremendous blow, and I think that the initial reaction was, we can't let this be that, we can't let this end up as a negative, we can't let this trash all of the positive that's happening, you know. So what do we do? What do we do to right now? Start that process of making sure this doesn't end up going sideways and really, you know, just dragging us down.
Larry Safley again from Roseburg. He created the IMUCC stickers. Lots of stories of people who needed to do something, Mark Iaconelli.
Yes, you know, there is this pattern that you hear in the stories in the recordings where there's the shock and the trauma and wanting to make sure people are okay, your loved ones are okay. They're kind of falling into the abyss of the darkness of this violence. And that's what, you know, tomorrow is a solemn day. Tomorrow is a day to be in solidarity with the families who lost children and lost other loved ones. And there is a darkness around this event that needs to be acknowledged. The Umpqua Story Project, we were also trying to focus on another story, not to take away from the horror of what happened, but there's this other story that goes alongside of it, and that's the good heart that rose up in Douglas County in response to this. And one of the things we began to feel as we collected stories is noticing how people dug deep and just began to figure out, what can I give to help heal this? It was almost like an equal, they were trying to match the reaction of this nuclear bomb that one of the people said in the recordings. They were trying to say, how do we become compassionate? How do we, where's the generosity? Where's the compassion? And people started getting together with their neighbors and figuring out good things to do. And that's what I was most amazed by when I went up there to collect these stories, is there is a really good heart in Douglas County. These are good people. And as dark as the reality is of the shooting, there's a deeper reality. And that's that people are compassionate. They do belong to one another. They do know how to bind to one another and make something good happen. And that's what you'll find in these stories, I believe.
In addition to Larry Safley and the IMUCC stickers, you also had the account on, in fact, it's the first one on the website, from the welder who made the metal representations with the heart over Roseburg. And he thought he'd sell a few of those, and people just snapped them up.
This is one of the things that happened is people thought, what can I give? What can I do to help? That was one of the first reactions many people had in that community. Justin Troxel, a welder, made the an organ yard sign, he calls them. It's the shape of organ with the heart cut out in a piece of metal. You put it on a rebar and you put it in your front yard. He posted these. He had made 50 of these signs, put it on Facebook. This became one of the places where the community gathered. As soon as he put that up, he sold those 50 within an hour at his house. Neighbors started coming by to help him make more signs, local businesses came by to help donate materials and paints. He would have about 100 to 150 people at his house every night working together to make these signs. And that became one of the places where the community collected. Dutch Brothers would bring coffee. Restaurants would bring food. A porta potty company hauled, you know, without asking or talking, it brought porta potties for the community. And it was where people shared stories. It's where they worked together. It's where they raised almost $140,000 to give to the families.
Impressive stuff. And there's another relating of that in the comments of Lewis Darling and Meredith Bliss. I put them back to back. Lewis Darling, a behavioral health care specialist at the South River Community Health Center. Meredith Bliss chaired the community healing and response team known as CHART. And here they talk about coming together in a really dark time to do some good.
When, you know, we were driving around doing, you know, we're doing our shopping on the weekend after, and we saw all the lines of Dutch Brothers. And we saw those people bringing those big bottles of water, and we saw, you know, people opening up their arms and their wallets. You know, one of the most memorable books I've ever read was by Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning, and it talks about the meaning of suffering. And yeah, in the midst of that, and what that felt like to have the media converge on our town and how constricting that was for a lot of people, it's just hard to fathom that in the midst of that, that there is joy. And when I saw these people hugging each other, there was joy.
There is an opportunity in the midst of so much awful stuff and trauma and, you know, so much sadness. We have also seen the most incredible displays of humanity, of love, of generosity, of people coming together, of positive things. We've seen alongside the very worst in our community, we have seen in many, many, many more displays of the very best of our community. And so how do we draw on that and use that as sort of the thing that comes from this? And, you know, how do we use this as an opportunity to say, you know, we are and can be better? And that's frankly the fuel for my fire.
Meredith Bliss and Lewis Darling from the Umpqua Story Project. Mark Iaconelli is in the studio with me. He directs the project. Susan Rochester, professor of fine arts at UCC, on the phone from Roseburg. Susan, all these stories then that we've just heard about people just amazed at the outpourings, is there any one thing that could possibly stand out from all the stuff you've seen over the last year?
Oh, I think realizing how, you know, how the college is actually a binding force within the community. I think you'd be hard pressed to find anyone who doesn't have a connection to UCC in some way, and you know, kind of take it for granted when you know you work here and you go to school here and you think, you know, this is just this place and no one thinks about it. But it's so deeply touching to hear stories about again how people connect and how the college has brought people together.
Mark Iaconelli, how much longer will the Story Project go on? How open-ended is this? Or is there a time at which you'll just say, okay, we're done here?
Yes, and we're about at that time. So we've spent a year working with this project. And, you know, really the heartbreak of this project is there was, you know, for this one act of violence, there was 100,000 acts of kindness. And we only collected a small, small amount of those things. Those are going to be archived on the website for 10 years. And we are going to add to it this next month. There is an exhibit that Susan has put together on campus where you can write your own story, your own experience. Those will be added to the website if you want to contribute to it. You can also email. There's emails on the website where if you want to send in a story, we'll add those. But basically by the end of October, we'll be finished.
Okay, I want to finish up with a clip from Gail Withers and Janet Johnston, who were part of a delegation that was visiting Roseburg's sister city in Japan, Kukushi, about a week or so, I think, after the event, and we're present for a prayer at a Buddhist temple for Roseburg.
We went into the Buddhist temple and sat down, and then the priest came in. They had announced that he was going to offer a prayer for the
living and the dead.
I can let you listen to it. You won't understand it because it's in Japanese.
But every once in a while, you can hear umqua.
Oh,
you know, you could,
right.
When he's chanting, you could hear, you could hear the word umqua.
And, it was for world peace and,
healing.
Healing.
Something about healing and,
in Roseburg. And I think it was just a very moving ceremony.
Oh, I had to get my Kleenex out. I mean, it really touched me.
Well, we got a real, real narrow slice of a huge constellation of comments out there. How many people altogether did you say took part in the Umpqua Story Project, Mark?
Well, we had about 15 to 20 people who helped us collect stories. We collected a little over 200 stories. But that little clip you just heard there, I mean, there was a worldwide response. There was a whole almost warehouse-sized room at the college to store all the gifts that were sent from around the world to people, to the community in Roseburg. I mean, so it really touched people all around the world.
Well, that's amazing things that have happened since a very terrible thing happened at Umpqua Community College a year ago tomorrow. Susan Rochester is a professor of fine arts at UCC. Susan, thanks so much for sharing your time with us today.
Oh, thank you.
And Mark Iaconelli from the Umpqua Story Project, thank you so much for being here as well. The We Are UCC True Tales of Kindness will be on October 8th, 7 to 9, at the auditorium at Umpqua Community College. And then the display ongoing at the Whipple Fine Arts Gallery at UCC through October 23rd. Thanks again for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange, Mark.
Thank you.